You a heads up that the last part of this podcast, unfortunately, is lost to the internets. Something happened with the recording and it stopped the stream and recording of the last part of the podcast. So we don't have those bits there, but this was in no way at all remotely, even possibly Robin's fault at all. Not at all. It was entirely just some random thing that happened. Not his fault. Wouldn't blame him for this at all. Not one bit. Of course, with that all said, hopefully you still can enjoy this podcast for what we do cover, as we do cover quite a bit of Gamescom. And we will look to make sure this doesn't happen again on the next podcast.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 541 of your Overseas Connection podcast, the official podcast of us, gamers, gamers everywhere, gamers from the UK, gamers from the United States, even gamers from Canada, sometimes Australia, sometimes other places. Anyway, it's going to be a small, intimate show today. We have myself, Greg DeLacy, OC Murphy's Law on Twitter, Murphy's Law on Xbox Live. And then spinning the decks for us behind the scenes, the lovely, voluptuous, and just downright sexy, Robin Tate.
Hi, voluptuous. Sorry, are you looking at my boobs again? Seriously. Hello, everybody. It's Robin Tate here. I am in Ballymena, and I am in Northern Ireland. And I actually think this is the first time that you and I have been alone in the room together. I think you've done.
I think it is.
I think I've been with other people alone, but never you and I.
Yes, this is new territory. I'm not sure how to feel about this.
So an hour from now.
Anyway,
an hour from now, we can kind of work out whether we're going to get on okay or not. You know, if we're on a desert island.
True.
Just you and me.
Yeah, this is the Desert Island Challenge for sure.
And who'll have the trousers on?
I think we'll
on?
Do okay.
You know, who will have the trousers on after this?
That's always a question. I don't know how that's going to pan out for us, Robin.
Because we're both
my guess shorts. Is we are both going to end up trouserless. That's ultimately how it's going to go down. You know that, right?
The conversation that was going on WhatsApp earlier on today. With Gary, I'm looking at other stuff, not concentrating. With Gary, we are definitely not the bosses. The ladies are the bosses of the house. So, yeah.
Oh, 100%. That goes without saying. Look, if you are married at all or in a long-term relationship, you already know this is the case. So, I think we can just leave it at that for now.
What's going on with the connection? Before we start, what is going on? I know because you're distracted and I'm distracted. What the hell's going on with the connection right now? Because we're dropping a serious amount of drop frames from the feed. So forgive us if it's a bit bad. There's a few red signals up there at the moment. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it looks good on my end. The good news is it looks okay from what I can tell. Monitoring Twitch on my end, but yeah. Our connection over Skype is a little juddery. And of course, as I say that, of course, Skype just or Twitch just froze up a little bit. So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it is going to be a bumpy,
dodgy connection. So maybe we will try the Northern Ireland, the Northern Ireland connection at some stage or another. Anyway, we've got a show to do.
Hey,
Greg DeLacy.
Robin.
Yeah,
Robin. Let's set the mood properly. Just saying.
Just the two of us. We can make it.
Oh, Fail boat. Just the
yep,
two of us.
Yep. I was trying to set the mood properly.
You were, and we That's failed okay. miserably because I sent you Richard Marks. We'll be right here waiting for you earlier on. So, you know, it's a love boat sort of thing. And the first one, that's like bumping teeth or bumping braces in the first kiss. You know, the retainers. Just that, should I lean in first? Oh, bumping noses. You know, well, that's what that was.
Hey, fun fact.
Yes.
Fun fact. I never had braces. How about you?
No, never. That's why I have English teeth.
Yeah.
My teeth are fine. Obviously, I was, sorry. Okay. Quick story time. Here we go. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's enough of that. So, fun fact or not fun fact or disgusting fact. All these kids that we have here, right? All our own kids and foster kids, they regularly go to the doctors, the opticians, the dentists, all the bits and pieces. And I put off going to the dentist a while back, like a few months ago, because I was so busy and I would reschedule. That was 2016. Yes.
Robin, it's probably time to actually schedule that appointment.
I did. Before I went away on holidays, I had a thing called a poppet. Now, anybody from the UK will know what poppets are. They're little... I stole one off the kids, right? A couple of them in the car. And they're little tiny things about the size of a pea, maybe a little bit bigger, with toffee in the middle and chocolate outside. And as I was driving along, it pulled one of my big filling out, big chunk that I had built up a few years ago. And I was...
It pulled it out.
Yeah. Destroyed it.
Oh.
So, and I was going... So I phoned the dentist quickly. Yeah, we cancelled your account because you haven't been here. All your family's been here, but you have to, you know, make another appointment for a checkup first. I said, yeah, but I'm going away on holidays. Nothing you can do. No. Punishment. So thank goodness, no pain, no nothing whatsoever. So I was at the dentist at the beginning of this week, as soon as we came back from holidays there. And they said, oh, no, you're actually, what? You haven't been here for a couple of years? It's really, really bad, but your teeth are actually in really good condition. So now I have to go in and get this all packed up again. And anyway, so go to the dentist regularly. Don't let it slip, no matter how busy you are. Yeah? We send the kids.
It's sound advice.
Yeah, stupid. Stupid boy.
Yeah. Oh. No, I'm pretty good about going to the dentist. I do my semi-annual, so I go actually twice a year to the dentist.
Yeah, we did it with kids. And I just kept on pushing it back, and something kept on coming up. So I would like, you know, I'd rather have a baby than go to the dentist, you know, and just lie back there and I'll adjust the chair.
Yeah, see, knock on wood, I've been pretty lucky with the dentist. My first dentist checkup was horrible when I was a kid. Absolutely horrible. And that was all down to me not liking brushing teeth as a kid and my parents not being really good about enforcing it. But after that really bad experience, I became pretty good about it. And I've been very lucky with my teeth since then. I have had a couple cavities over my lifetime. Nothing major.
Same here.
I have still two of my wisdom teeth in.
Yeah, me too.
Never had to pull them out.
Never. Yeah. Snapples.
Yeah. But I did have one pulled. That was probably the worst dentist experience I had, was actually getting that tooth pulled. And it didn't need to get pulled. It was just, it was...
Preemptive?
Yeah, it was a preemptive strike by the dentist. He was like, you know what? Let's just get in and pull this out. There's no need for it to be there. It's crowding things a little bit. And, you know, it's harder to reach, blah, blah, blah. I think he just wanted a new car or something that week because he needed an extra, you know, insurance payment. But the worst part of being at the dentist when you have something like that done, it's not the pain, to be perfectly honest. I mean, they Novocaine you up. I mean... The Novocaine shots going into my gum, I think one actually kind of hit a nerve, so that was like a sharp pain.
Yeah.
But it you numb up totally fast. The worst part about it was as they're pulling this tooth out, you can hear not just audible like outside, but you hear like in your skull. Like in your skull, you hear the tooth breaking. And it is... just a excruciatingly painful sound to hear. Yeah. So.
No, it's helping me relive the smell that. Of burning and stuff like that when they're drilling and all that sort of stuff. He thought, I had when I was a kid, and I think that's what, as a kid, I was that I had to go, but my dentist was from Little Shop of Horrors, and he had no bedside manner whatsoever, and he pretty much done everything apart from put his knee up on your stomach. You know, there was no gentle thing about him whatsoever. Maybe just hated kids, or hated me, I don't know.
Possible.
Anyway, yeah, so that was... why am I talking about dentists?
I don't know. You know what we should talk about, Robin, which we failed to cover. One, a quick shout out and a good evening to Hardly Dan and Scott Subi for joining the show in progress. They are listening to us live on twitch.tv, also potentially on mixer.com or maybe even on youtube.com. We do broadcast in all of these places every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. Those are all the important to-do checklist box thingies that we should do. Yep. A shout-out to YankeeFan1888 and Simeon29 for giving us a follow. And if I didn't say the last one right, well, oops.
Simon.
Simon I29.
It's maybe clever. Sure. Or I'm just stupid.
Yeah, no, that might be very clever.
And there's no birthdays this week. There was birthdays last week that we know of, and if we don't know your birthday, well, sorry, we missed it. But Amaris had a birthday there through the week, and so did Sue. So happy birthday to you from that time as well. There are people in the chat, Greg. Hardy Dan's in there. He's worked out where to put his picture of C-3PO. He's not too sure where to put R2-D2. And I'm not sure about the pictures either, Dan. They are interesting. And Scott Subby's in there. He's saying it's a bit jumpy, but it's nothing too bad. So,
Right. By the way, Hardly Dan, I have offered up numerous times. Just go ahead and send those pictures over to me. I will find a place for them. So, just saying.
Did you see them? They were like arty-farty C-3PO
Interesting. I'm good with Artie Farty.
Definitely the
Farty. Speaking of Artie Farty, we're talking story time. So we went last night to see a movie called The Peanut Butter Falcon.
What?
It is an independent film kind of a deal. It's not going to be in theaters for very long. However, a really good movie. It's not an action movie. So if you're wanting to see things blowing up, like, you know, Angels Fallen or whatever, this is not that movie. Angels. This is a movie about... I was just saying, this is not an action movie. There's no, you know, this is about a Down syndrome young man, and I say young man because he is older, finding kind of his way and befriending somebody that, you know, paths cross. I don't want to give anything away because it's a unique, interesting story. It pulls at the heartstrings at times. Leaves you feeling good about life.
You've got my interest perked there, you know?
Yes. Huh. Yeah. Interestingly enough, it has Shia LaBeouf as one of the main characters. I'm not the biggest Shia LaBeouf fan. I think he kind of has played some very...
Yeah, I don't understand. People seem to have went off him like he was really weird. I know he was in Transformers and stuff, but I didn't understand the hate. I mean, what did he do?
I don't hate him. It's more, I think, the type of movies he was taking, they felt very samey to me. He was always playing the same kind of role. So he kind of was staircase. He plays a very different role in this movie. I thought he did a great job. And quite honestly, this could be one of those type of roles that maybe helps resurrect his career in other genres and really, you know, elevates him to kind of some new levels, which would be nice for him. So I highly recommend. Okay. Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah, there's the films there. Like, was it Wonder Boy? You know, is it the Wonder Boy about the little boy who had the head disfigurement? He always had the space helmet on and stuff like that there. And it's always nice to see actors stretching themselves with different and slightly difficult subject matter. So, yeah, I'll check that out. That's cool.
Yeah.
And
what about you, Robin?
Well, we see there that Tony started school last Monday, Greg. So I wonder how Tony, Kim's Tony, got
right,
on
right.
school. So, Write in, Tony. Let us know.
Sure, he did.
Oh, well, speaking of school and all the and all the kids, it's odd. I mean, there's a bank holiday here tomorrow in the UK. Hi, Sarah. And I'm off tomorrow. Going to do my best. My company, they're in the south of Ireland, there is no holiday, so it's one of those odd ones. But I'm just going to enjoy my day. But I have some of my kids start back on Tuesday. And then some of them start the following Monday. One starts on Tuesday, another one starts on Thursday, and then the rest of them start next Monday. And this year I have...
Okay.
Taylor, Grace Hill. I have Glenn, Castle Tower. Charlie, a Collybaki High. Corey, a Cambridge House. Joshua, Queen's University. And then the Bubbies. Five different schools that I'm dealing with this year. Nutballs! Logistical nightmare in the mornings. Anyway, yeah, so that's all happening. Yeah. It's been funny all week. It's been busy week. Last night, and I had a terrible, terrible night with the little lady. So at 12:30, 1:45 in the morning, she decided to get up. And I got out of bed, and
okay.
She was standing up at her cot. So I just, first of all, it was, oh, come on, I back down in the bed, back to bed. And then 2 minutes later, she was up again. So I tried it again. And then you go through the process of you don't say anything. You just pick them up, lay them down. Pick them up, lay them down. And I must have done that 30 times. So that takes us to about 1:00 in the morning. And then I take her up.
By the way, can I just make a proclamation?
Yeah.
I think one of your sons just stopped surfing porn because the audio just got incredibly better.
Yeah, good.
So it's like your bandwidth opened up.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look terribly healthy here. I've never actually seen on OBS this red bar saying that the kilobytes per second is so poor. But anyway, we'll carry on regardless.
Yeah.
I pick her up and go downstairs, and we are sitting watching Star Wars, and it'll come up later on. We started watching Star Wars Solo, I went back to bed at 4:30. So because she just wouldn't settle. She was up for the day. She fitted in an extra day in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's jazz. And then we had another babby today for a while, and it's just crazy. It was lovely and warm here today. But lovely project that I'm doing. Nothing to do with gaming whatsoever.
This is love.
Yeah, my father had passed away 5 years ago, believe it or not. It's 5 friggin' years in January coming. My mom's as well. And Sarah, yes, there is some bandwidth issues. Sorry, it's tinternet. It's not a lot we can do about it. Anyway, so when we cleared up my father's house, I had a whole pile of stuff. And years and years ago, when my father was a young man, 17, 18, he was a carpenter or an apprentice carpenter. And he was that for maybe 8 or 10 years and then went to a different career path. But one of his first projects, I remember telling him about this here, was to make a toolbox. And it's a toolbox. It's about 2.5 feet long by 1.5 feet, 2 feet wide, and 8 or 10 inches deep. And you lift the half lid, and there's like a secret compartment inside it. And it's all made of lovely timber, and there's some walnut inlay. It was more decorative. He did have a little toolbox, which was his everyday thing, but this was the special project piece. Because when I was older, it was in a store and it never got used. Anyway, I've had it in my tool part of the garage here since clearing out of this house. And I've always had in mind that I would love to restore it and maybe turn it into something else or have it done. So because we're doing the work in the house, I always thought, well, yeah, we'd make a lovely little coffee table. So we started the process over the last couple of days, and I've stripped all the old... Now, this thing's now 70, 80 years old, and it's been in a greasy garage and one thing and another over the years. And some of the old, original, really old carpenter tools were inside it. There's a funny noise. Yeah, I'm hearing you in a big way.
What do you mean?
I don't know what I mean. I hear a buzz. Anyway, we'll carry on. So I stripped it all back and sanded and took all of the old furniture off, all the metals and all the latches and stuff I got there, and the old leather handle that was on it. So Last night it got its first coat of varnish, and today it's had several, because it's been so hot here, it dried very, very quickly. So sanding it down, get it smooth, and making it like an old oak look to it. And then I've started to take all of the little latches and bits and pieces and get the Dremel out and polishing them up, get all the rust off them. And there's some lovely brass pieces. So some of those are ready to go back on again. And I have some little legs coming from Amazon, little 8-inch black legs. And I'm going to turn it into a coffee table. And hopefully, again, it has knocks and it's dented. But there's just something nice about it because it was my dad's. And I'm not a joiner or anything like that, but I've really enjoyed the therapeutic bit of working away at this. And yeah, it's been nice. I hope it turns out nice. And even if it doesn't, it'll end out here. If it's not good enough for inside the house, it'll end up out here, and I'll be as proud as punch of it. You know.
It looked nice. I saw the pictures of it. I thought it looked fantastic.
No, you thought it was a coffin.
Well, there is that. I mean, let's face it. I was a little concerned that you showed a box that looked like it had been dug up out of the ground.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then you said, I'm going to restore this in preparation for a VIP visit. I mean, legitimately, I was like, is this the place that I'm going to be sleeping in? I mean,
well,
but no, it does look nice, Robin.
As we said, you know, Belfast has a big population, small towns scattered around the place, mostly fields and sheep. If we were to bury you in a shallow grave, it would take many, many years for anybody to find you.
It's not really reassuring, Robin.
No, it's not really. It's not really the sort of thing. Well, speaking of which, today, Greg, let me tell you, today, the VIP visit came up for the first time in preparations. Judith.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Judith brought it up today. I said, well, Greg's coming in here, and if he's going to be staying either here or in Joshua's room, and Joshua's going to go to the house in Belfast, we have to get Joshua's room ready. It'll have to be all cleared out and done and redone and get all the sheets redone and get new sheets, and we'll have to get it all decorated for Greg coming.
I was planning on sleeping on the pool table in the background, for the record. That was my thought, was a pillow, a blanket, I'm good.
Well, I'll maybe have you on the pool table. You never know. But getting back to work this week, it was really hard. I mean, Monday back to work, and I have to admit, it was probably Wednesday before I started getting my mojo back again. Before I got the buzz, there was meetings set up for me on Monday when I was away, and the stuff I had, site meetings and different bits and pieces that I had to go to on Monday and Tuesday, and I was just doing colour by numbers. I was just getting through it, but it wasn't until Wednesday that I started to get my let's get moving again. But if you had the opportunity to stop, if the lottery came in, Greg, or great Uncle Olaf that you've never met, who lives in...
Good old Uncle Olaf.
Yes.
Good old Uncle Olaf.
Yeah, yeah, he lives in outer Mongolia somewhere, okay? And he met you or seen a photograph of you once, and he is a multi-billionaire, left you your money. Would you stop work?
So, great question. Hmm. But let me go back to this. Uncle Olaf... from Mongolia,
yes,
billions of dollars. Mongolia and Olaf don't seem like they match up.
Oh yeah, he was a missionary. He went out there. In fact, if you send me your bank account details and transfer $500 for the fee, yeah. I'll get to that.
So I have thought about this question many a time.
Mm.
Ironically, I don't think I would altogether stop working. I don't know why I would do my current job. I think I would take something that had probably some less responsibility to it, but I would want to stay somewhat active doing something. Yeah. I don't think I could just not work. I think that would be harder to deal with.
But then again,
depending upon how much money good old Uncle Olaf left me,
mm-hmm.
I might also venture to just start up my own business, doing something that I was passionate about, and go that route. So it might actually become more work in some respects, but it would be work with passion behind it, as opposed to the work I do now, which I enjoy, but it's not passion filled. It's not like I don't live for market research. I, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to do more market research. No, not really. So I think from my perspective, I would likely leave what I do now, but I would try and start up a business maybe to just entertain myself and, you know, and maybe, you know, I think ideally it would be something I could do with Cindy. So we would do something together and start up some kind of small little business that would keep us busy, but afford us to be able to just not feel the responsibility of the day-to-day life, right? That's my thoughts. Now, granted, it may all go to heck in a handbasket. We just say, hey, we're just going around the world for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, you know?
Sell the house.
Yeah, I think you could do that for a while. I think I'd be very similar to you. I think it would have to be maybe start up a non-profit or not-for-profit or some sort
right?
of maybe yep. some charity non-profit. Thing or helping something. You know, for me, if there's people out there that help the kids to play, disabled kids playing video games, stuff like that there, yeah, they'll be lovely to get involved with somebody like that to tie this into it as well. I don't know. But again, that's Fantasy Island.
Yeah.
You know,
No, it's Fantasy Island up until something happens. So, you know, let's play the lottery. I think that's the real key takeaway from this conversation, Rob, is we need to play the lottery.
Well, we could do one big drug haul. I mean, no one would
no one would
suspect us. We have clean records. You know, we could just do one big bank job. I mean, we've got nothing.
Have you seen the movie The Mule?
No.
With Clint Eastwood? Absolutely, you need to watch the movie The Mule with Clint Eastwood based on this conversation right now.
I think we would probably feel miserably.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, that does it for some story time. There is lots of stuff to talk about gaming-wise, I think we can dive into that.
Yeah. Okay, so shall we play a game?
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
Okay, well, where are we? We're at the end of the month, so I don't think there's an awful lot of point going through the freebies.
Here's the one thing I'll say to this is, you know, it is the end of the month. You only have a couple days left. If you have not, you know, if you have PlayStation Plus, if you have Twitch Prime games, if you have Games with Gold, there are games available. Download them. They'll be available only for a few more days. Gears of War 4, Castlevania Lords of Shadow on the Xbox. On the PlayStation side, you've got Wipeout Omega Collection, Sniper Elite 4. And on Twitch Prime Games, Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap, Pumped BMX Pro, Mabel and the Wood, and Automachef. All those games are going to disappear after the first of this month, or the first of September. So get them while you can if you haven't already got them. But let's dive into what we have been playing. I'm not going to cover too much here, Robin. I mean,
do what you want.
Let's talk about Yoko's. Okay. Let's talk about Yoko Island Express.
Okay.
Let's talk about that game.
If you don't mind a few clicks, I'm going to bring it up on.
I don't mind a few clicks.
Yeah.
I would expect a few clicks. Expect a four clicks.
Well, that's one.
Four clicks.
Two. Three.
This is scintillating podcast right here.
Four. Okay.
Four clicks gets us to the center of the gameplay, Tootsie Pop.
Yoko's Island Express. I have been looking at this game for many, many months. Many cycles of moon I have been looking at game. This of. And it just is one of those little platformer things that I really seem to gravitate to. And it just seemed a little bit weird. So that's why I never, ever sort of pressed the button on it.
Okay.
But it has now appeared in Game Pass, that fantastic thing that is Game Pass. And I did some research on it, and, you know, it was fantastically reviewed, first out in Steam, not too long before it then, or after it came out on PlayStation and Xbox. And to explain what it is a platforming game. If you were to take Ori and the Blind Forest, what is the other one then? God, it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, Ori. But not, yeah, sort of, yeah, not 3D, but a platformer that
okay.
way. Okay, so sort of a not serious Ori. What is the one that was absolutely fantastic? Damn it, why can I not remember it? And it comes in mobile versions and with runners and...
Mario?
Yeah, think of a Mario game, lighter hearted, that'll do. Okay, so you can picture that sort of game, yeah? Sort of jungle running around, collecting things, doping stuff up. Sort of Metroidvania, it looks like that you can go back over stuff. And then throw it in a room so it had a baby with pinball effects. Okay?
Okay.
No, you can't. You just can't imagine that. It doesn't make sense.
No, not really.
It doesn't.
The pinball effects is the weird part.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why I was always hesitant. So, okay. So if you're a platform fan, all right, Mario World and Ori and things like that there, brilliant. If you're a pinball fan, wow, it's got everything you want. It's an original genre of a platformer. You play this little ant. He seems to be an ant. For some strange reason, he has a little bit of tether and he's attached to a pinball ball, which is about 3 or 4 times the size of his mass, and you pull this little ball around, and you're the postmaster, or the new postmaster, of Yuko's Island. Yes? The Island Express is the postal service, and you take over from a guy who's retired, and you have to go and pick up the post and deliver the post. Of course, there's a baddie involved in this as well. But if you look at the screen at the moment, the gameplay and the platforming that you do as normal also has the little paddles left and right that you have on a pinball table. And you flick yourself with this ball into various areas. And there's like miniature pinball tables built into the visuals. Not like a upright with a glass in front of it. It's part of the map design. And it is totally and utterly original, and I'm not that long in, maybe an hour or two into it, but it is absolutely glorious little game, Yuko's Island Express. It is lovely. Fraser, you're going to love this. He loves his pinball and he loves his platformers, so go for
Robin,
it.
Can I ask one question real quickly?
Yeah.
Did you transition our screen to show the video play?
Uh-huh.
All right. Because I'm not seeing, I just see our screens up. I don't see the video screen up showing the gameplay right now. Huh. And it's been a little while, so I don't know anybody else is seeing this right now either.
Okay, well.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, I'll go back there and hopefully I painted a nice picture.
I think you painted a great picture. It's one of those things that visually speaking.
So Yuko's Island Express, if you like platformer, and if you like platformer, pinball, you don't have to really love pinball, because it is part of it, but it's just part of the gameplay. Go grab it. It is absolutely delightful. The sound, the little cartoony set of graphics, it makes no sense whatsoever. The story is just irrelevant.
Nonsensical.
The map is clouded over with the fog of war, and first of all you go and you collect your meet the post off my old postmaster, and he retires, and you get your post office, and then it tells you, well, you have to go up here and deliver 3 letters, one there and there, your usual sort of formula. But all of the little creatures and the design is lovely. It's such a high production value. So that's it.
Okay,
so
all right,
I love that.
All right. Yoko's Island Express, with a big thumbs up from Robin for gameplay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to talk about a couple games real quickly that we don't need to spend any time talking about, really, other than the fact that I did play them, and we will talk about them future. Now I see the video popping up on Yoko's Island Express, by the way, so it did finally pop up.
Way behind.
Yeah, it is way behind. Trials Rising, obviously, we have our Trials competition going on, so we will talk about that, but we'll talk about that later. Stellaris, that came to Xbox Game Pass, the console versions. I was curious. I've always been tempted by this game. I like strategy games from time to time, and I was like, Stellaris sounds like this could be kind of cool. Dear God, this is a very, very complicated game. And Greg, I only had...
It looks like a game for accountants.
It does. It feels like a game for accountants in a lot of ways. There is so much to manage and dive into and different menus to go through. It was probably like 12 o'clock at night when I tried playing it. I was tired. Like five minutes and I was done. I was like, I can't concentrate on this. So Stellaris, I still want to come back to you. I don't know that I'm going to enjoy you. It just seems like it takes a certain type of personality and a huge amount of time dedication to really get the most out of that game.
Teflon loves this, doesn't he?
He does. Teflon liked it, but he did warn me. He said it is absolutely not for everybody, so I did get that forewarning. Gears of War 4, I decided to fire this back up the past week in preparation for Gears of War 5 coming out. I have to say, I love the beginning of this game. They do a great job of recapping the previous Gears of War games by having you play some missions that kind of involve the previous game's stories, and they do this little recap, but you play as a regular Gears Cog troop, soldier. So you're not playing as one of the main characters. Sometimes you intersect with some of the main characters, but for the most part, you're always playing the role of characters that are, you know, kind of throwaway background characters, and it just gives a different perspective to everything, and I really, really liked that. And so they were able to kind of recap what had all happened using that formula. And of course, that's also the tutorial of getting you back into the swing of what the mechanics are. So Gears of War 4, obviously in prep for Gears of War 5, very much looking forward to that game. And then let's talk about Gears Pop.
Okay. While we're at it. Yes.
Let's talk about this. Gears Pop came out, I think it was on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Ish. And I was very skeptical of Gears Pop. For the moment it was announced way back when, it's like a mobile game, Gears universe. I don't know. And I still have this twinge of in the back of my mind being, I don't know how I feel about this game, but what I do want to relay is that this game works. It is a mobile Gears, using the Gears Pop figure game where it kind of reminds me of Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah.
In some respects.
Similar things coming down. Yeah.
So you have lanes. There's kind of two lanes of cover on the left and the right side of the screen. You have a bunch of different character pins, which basically you use to form your squad. And it could be all different kinds of characters. It can be named characters. It can be locust characters, or things like grenades or decoys. There's all different types of pins. And again, you take... I think 10 of these and create a squad out of them. You can level up characters individually. And what happens is when the game starts at the very bottom of the screen, four different pins will show up based on their cost value. So there's a timer, and say I have a Marcus Fenix character and he has, a cost value of four. That means the timer has to reach four segments before I can pull that character onto the screen.
Okay. So, right. So, yeah, you've got, so you pick your characters that you play with, and if you fire out
right.
Marcus Fenix, he goes on, you can sort of point where he goes on the screen, but after you've pointed where he goes and does his thing. You have no real control, like Plants vs. Zombies. It's like
absolutely.
You can direct where you yep. want him to go to. He'll go that general direction, and he'll work his way to his best up to the end of the baddies side of things until he dies, and then you'll get a new right. Marcus Fenix after 5 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever it may be. Okay, I wasn't sure about that because I played maybe 4 or 5 rounds of it, and it was like fire them up.
Right.
Okay.
Now, each character has characters they are good against, and then they have characters they're weak against. So this is where the strategy element starts to come into play, because if you throw, say, a Marcus Fenix out there, and again, I don't know specifically off the top of my head what his counters are, but the guy or person you're playing against can throw out the counter. Say it's a Locust Drone. The Locust Drone can be really effective against Marcus Fenix, and so he throws the drone out. And as they meet and collide, Marcus Fenix is going to lose to that drone pretty much every time, unless maybe you have other characters on screen to support your character.
Oh.
The idea is to get your characters to the top of the screen and take out the enemy's installations. There's 2 machine gun nests, and then there's kind of a home base in the middle. And for each one of those you take out, you get 1 point. And so if you get 2 points, take a step back. Both sides can score those points. So, Robin, if you and I are playing against one another, you might take one of my machine guns out. I take one of your machine guns out. It's 1-1. The next person who, say, scores another machine gun nest getting taken out, now you've got 2 points for victory. I only have 1 point still. And if the timer runs out at that point, you'd have the victory.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that. I did win a match with 2-0 and 3-0.
Right.
And now, when you do play it, is it computer? I wonder if is it all computerized now, or am I getting matched up with you or someone like that? Because I seem to have won all of the matches that I played.
Right. So there's 4 modes. There's a training tutorial mode that it's just practicing versus mode. There's no, you don't get any point rewards for doing that. There is a challenge mode that basically it's single player where they tell you have to win using certain characters or certain tactics.
Yeah.
And that's against the CPU as well. Then there's versus mode, which is a 1-on-1 player versus player mode. And I could be wrong, but I do think there are bots in there. I have played against real life other people, but I think sometimes if it takes too long, it'll match you up against a bot. This way, you never are not getting a match. And then there is a horde mode. And the horde mode, I think it's either 2-player or up to 4-player co-op. I honestly don't know how many people can join the horde mode. But for the horde mode, you're playing against, again, the computer-controlled AI, but you cannot play Horde mode solo. You have to play it with somebody else.
So you have to remember here that, I mean, this is a mobile game. Now, I think you can play it on iPad
yes.
as well. So it's not like we're all excited about this.
Yep.
The only reason why we're talking about this is because of Gears. Because there are probably other games out there
right.
like this. Maybe as good, maybe even better.
Oh, 100%.
That we really haven't
been
yeah. on that.
But it is, without a doubt.
Yeah. So, I think the Plants vs. Zombies reference is pretty cool, Greg. Yeah, that's pretty close. And then, of course, you can buy packs.
Yeah,
you can buy. It's free. The game is free, but there will be loot boxes and all that stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, there are microtransactions available to it, but so far I've never felt compelled to buy any of them.
No.
I've played a fair decent amount. It's a good game for just sitting while you're, say, watching a television show that you're not terribly interested in or just want it in the background.
What about the
you
loo?
You could throw this up in fire and play
it. Is it good for the loo?
Say it again. On the loo, absolutely. It's a good loo. It's a good loo game.
Good loo
for
game.
Sure.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's Gears Pop. Look, this is not going to be game of the year by any stretch. I don't even know that it's going to, you know, take the world by storm like other mobile games have. We've seen, but it is more successful than I thought it was going to be, and I think that is really what I wanted to talk about. I did not have any faith this is going to be good at all. It's surprisingly okay.
That's okay. My compliment. Put it on the box.
Surprisingly okay. And it did make me, for some dumb reason, want to play or get a Gears Pop character. I want to get the big the locust, the heavy. I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, so yeah, it made me almost want to pick one of those up. Almost. I did not do it. I have not pulled the trigger. But
I have a few that I got when I used to get the loot crate thing all the time. But I think those things are pretty crappy. Maybe they're cute. They're cute enough. I don't know if I'd rush out to go and try and buy one. I don't know. Really?
No, like I said, it was a passing fancy. If I was on Amazon and I started thinking, maybe no.
Because
I do like my collectibles.
Yeah.
But I don't want that collectible, I don't think.
Quality of collectibles. Because I've seen the WhatsApp group exploding with, they're in this shop and they're that shop and there's a pile there. we do go balls deep a bit about stuff, I think, now and again, don't we?
Yes, we do. We do. All right. So speaking of, I'm not going to say speaking of balls deep, but we're just going to transition. I want to talk about a game that surprised me. So this game is called Generation Zero. I had heard, I saw this way back, probably two E3s back, and I was pretty excited about it. It had a vibe of kind of a PUBG survival, you know, scavenging for your weapons kind of vibe to it. But I think the better equation is not PUBG. It feels more to me like Vigor. So if you have played the game Vigor, you will know it's a little more desolate. You are out and around scavenging for gear to you know, make your character better. But in this game, what is going on is I think it's set in Sweden, and basically the world's kind of gone to shit, and there's some kind of robotic invasion takeover happening. So you one thing this game doesn't do good, it's the setup. They it's a text heavy setup. They kind of tell you what happened prior to the game starting up, but I really felt this day and age we don't need to have games giving us a text wall setup. Instead, you could do it with some cutscenes. It would have been really easy to do this because the premise is you are a young, you know, kind of an older teenage person, and you are out with some friends, and basically the world goes to shit while you are on a boat, and then as the world's gone to shit, you come crashing back to the island, trying to find out what's going on, and you wake up after, I think, kind of like a nuclear bomb or something goes off, and you're on this island alone. You can play this co-op, so you can invite others to come in and play with you, but I was playing it solo. It was a free-to-play weekend for this game. I think it ends today. Apologies, but I had previously heard this game was really hard, and so I took that in the back of my mind and knew I needed to play this cautiously. I couldn't just try and go Rambo on this. So there are robotic enemies all over the place on this island map. And as you're trying to get at what happened, and then the on the way of your journey, you're collecting gear, backpack, you're collecting guns, you're collecting things like fireworks to distract the enemies, that kind of thing.
They look like dogs. Robot-y dog things?
Yeah, if you've ever seen Boston Scientific put out some videos of, they had robotic dog pack mules that they created, and basically it was part of a U.S. Army robotics program where they wanted to create these robots that would be able to, you know, in a sense, kind of do a lot of what soldiers normally wouldn't be able to do in terms of carrying the amount of weight, that kind of thing. So that's the premise of the robots that are on this island attacking everything. there's just a nice level of tension in this game. And I so far, I have not died. I have encountered robots. I've gotten into gunfights with them. The one big problem you will encounter, and this is why you have to be super careful, is if you take on one robot in a gunfight, the sound can potentially attract other robots to the fight.
Ah.
They are super hyper. They're hypersensitive to sound. And if they see you, it takes a lot of effort for you to get away from them. So if you start running away from them full speed, they will track you better than if you kind of hunker down and try and kind of crawl away quietly using bushes and trees to try and cover your tracks. Mm. So I get a very Left 4 Dead vibe from this game.
Really? Okay.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing I wanted to kind of throw out there is the Left 4 Dead vibe. So I don't know, I've had probably about an hour of this game so far. I love what I've seen so far.
Hmm.
It's impressed me a lot. I'm surprised it didn't do better, but maybe it's because they've had to do some tweaking on the back end and maybe they've made it a little more forgivable now. I don't know. But so far, so good. And it's just kind of a little bit of a unique spin on the whole
PUBG thing.
Co-op. Yeah, exactly. So,
layman, I haven't played it. Looks like PUBG with robots. So,
Anyway, so that's me done.
I'm sorry. Are you going to buy this game? Are you going to buy Generation Zero?
That's the thing. I think it's on sale right now. I think I would pick it up on sale. I wouldn't pay full price for it. If I could find it for maybe on the $25-$20 scale, I'd take a chance on this game for sure. Mm. I've enjoyed it that much so far.
All right. Cool.
And just a side note to this game. So you can't use vehicles in this game. Cars are non-drivable. However, I just discovered, and this is right before I quit the game the other night, they have workstations that you can create bicycles, and you can use bicycles to get around because they don't create as much noise as cars. So I was laughing my butt off when I saw that. I was like, okay, that is, again, a unique little... Yeah. Yep. Everybody's driving their bikes. But anyway. All right. Let's move on. We've got some stuff to talk about,
news,
Robin.
News.
Here is the fucking news.
I always wondered about that. The story of that little soundbite.
I don't know. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's a European thing, from what I can tell.
Yeah. No. I like it and cringe at it too, because that's the you curse on that podcast, Robin, Judith. So yeah. Anyway,
on occasion, yes, we do.
On occasion.
Yeah.
All right, Gamescom happened. Gamescom. Whoa,
yes.
Germany.
Yeah, we. I won't say it was a news-filled Gamescom. I think there were some good pieces of information that came from Gamescom, but actually most of the news was not Gamescom-related, that I think is the bigger news. So I'm going to skip around a little bit here. Right. So I'm going to cover some of the Gamescom stuff.
Yeah.
So the Witcher 3, or as everybody is now saying, the Switcher 3, got a date announcement on the Switch, October 15th. So that will be coming to Switch for all of those who want to dive back into Witcher 3.
I watched this. I mean, I think we were both watching the Microsoft thing and all our bits and pieces were coming up as well, and bits and pieces of it.
Right.
All. At one stage, some of us were watching some part of Gamescom at all times. The version on the Switch looks okay. It doesn't look fabulous. But I think on the small handheld screen, it'll probably be absolutely spot on. I don't think this is where you would ideally play The Witcher, but if you're a massive Witcher fan and want more of it, this is what you would buy. And you could forgive the more basic graphic out of it if you just wanted that gameplay. And and wanted unicorn sex.
Yeah.
You know? Well, that's okay.
Totally agree. Fair enough. Totally agree.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing that little handheld thing is doing the full, because it's the full edition of it as well. So apart from some downscale graphics, it's the whole Witcher experience on a Switch. Cool.
Yeah. So let's jump around. So Robin, I'm going to keep you on your toes here. Apologies. I'm going to jump down to Stadia.
Yeah.
Stadia did announce more games. They had a press event, and honestly, a lot of the press event stuff that happened at Gamescom felt like it didn't necessarily need press events. So I'll just throw that out there too. But Stadia did announce a bunch of games coming to Stadia for its launch, but also beyond that. The biggest win for Stadia is Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
Sorry, did I say 2070? Yeah, 2077 coming out for Stadia as well. Mortal Kombat 11, The Elder Scrolls Online, Borderlands 3, and Superhot were a few other titles that they did announce that were going to be part of that launch lineup. I don't get excited for a lot of those titles, but Cyberpunk, obviously, is a big win.
I know, Greg, it keeps them relevant. I think what comes out of this for me is that pretty much what they're saying is, like, from the get-go, we are a player. We have all those, pretty much all of the same titles that the other main consoles have. So from day one, if you want all of those things, you're not losing out by here. In fact, if anything, if you've got a half decent internet connection, you can play this anywhere instantly. So I do not underestimate how it mightn't be the biggest change, but it's definitely on live was the beginning. Stadia is the next evolution. It mightn't be the final hurrah, but if anybody like can do this, Google are going to do it. But from the get-go, this is now a legitimate option if you have a good enough internet connection. And I'll be very interested to see how well it works on this crap here. So,
yeah, so, you know, that's the other thing to talk about is you know, well, the thing about Stadia, I think you hit it on the nail on the head, Robin. If you have a good enough internet connection, I think Stadia has that value there. In terms of the paid version, I mean, if you have super high bandwidth and you can and pay for a 4K streaming service that's literally going to deliver 4K to your you know television through Stadia, hey, that is fantastic, and I don't see a big problem with that. I think the problem comes in that 4K is not a guarantee to you through this service. 4K is always going to be subjective to your internet connection. So when you have internet connection problems, you're going to go sub 4K. And if you don't have that, you know, that constant good connection, then paying for the service, for the 4K service, is going to be a bit useless, because at the end of the day, they're going to be coming out with a free 1080p version, which likely your internet connection would hold up to. And that is going to launch in 2020.
Greg, I'm fine with 1080p. You know, your 4K is so much better. Beautiful, fantastic. But, you know, as I get older, I am fine with still really, really good. Not super duper fantastic, but it's still friggin' awesome to look at 1080p. You know, some of the games we've been playing over the last few years have been 1080p. So I don't get hung up on that. Real graphics aficionados that really want that, well, this is maybe not for them. But for me, being able to throw this in my travel case, or in the case of EGX coming up in London, in my travel bag, I've got a full console. So if there's Wi-Fi in the place, it's half decent the way I go. So, interesting. Again, I have one on order, and it'll be interesting to see it. So, cool. I think they also announced one or two exclusive titles. Smaller things, but they were exclusive. I noticed on Jeff Keighley's show.
They did. I
don't remember.
I don't remember what they were. They weren't big titles, so... To me, the big win was Cyberpunk, to be honest. Okay, so just covering over some of the smaller stuff real fast. PUBG. I mean, this is a big deal. PUBG console games are getting cross-play.
Woo.
What that means is PlayStation 4 players and Xbox One players will be playing against one another. That is a test server in September, and then they hope to launch that service in October. Hmm. So that's good news for a game like PUBG. And honestly, I think this is why crossplay is important. It's for the smaller games. You know, we don't need crossplay for Call of Duty. We don't need crossplay for FIFA. We need crossplay for some of these smaller games. And PUBG, I know it's a big game, but what I'm saying is for smaller games where they don't have on each console a huge player base, maybe a decent player base.
Yeah, so you
they'll benefit from that.
To fill servers, to fill 100 players or whatever it may be. Yes,
exactly.
Instead of splitting it up into three versions or four, PC, Switch, you know, Xbox, PlayStation 4. And ZX Spectrum, so yeah, that's a good thing. And we're not all excited about it. We're not cheering about it, but it should have been for a long time. It's just politics.
Yes.
Politics.
Agreed. No, absolutely. Xbox Game Pass had a few announcements. The big announcement, quite honestly, to me, is the Blair Witch game, which is launching into Game Pass. You know, that got announced, which prior to this, we just knew Blair Witch game was coming. But they're actually going to launch it out onto Game Pass as well. So that's a nice get. Devil May Cry 5 and Stellaris also were announced as part of that coming to
awesome.
Game Pass.
Devil May Cry 5. Obviously, what was it, the beginning of the year? DMC 5? So, I mean,
yeah.
Sorry, Game Pass, blowing it out of the park. You really don't need to buy games any longer. And then we were getting excited for, again, we're talking about Gears now, you know, Gears in a week. I mean, the thing came up today to preload, to pre-install it.
Right.
Just wow.
Yeah. Well, and this is kind of one of to your point, Robin, about not needing to buy games with Game Pass. Because Phil Olson, lovely Phil, who's supposed to be on the show, by the way, Phil, he had just bought Stellaris a month back.
He did this not so long. There's something else. He did this recently as well. Yeah. Was it Mars?
It definitely
Mars
happens.
Building thing or?
Yep. Obviously the challenge is some of these games do exit Game Pass. And so if you do buy it, you'll have it forever. And that's okay. The other kind of notable things out of the Xbox Microsoft conference, Gears 5 is getting a Halo Universe crossover. So there will be two playable characters in Gears 5 that are you know, character skins from Halo Reach, Emil and Kat. I love this only because I've always wanted a third-person Halo game because I love the character models of the Halo characters. So I thought, okay. Cool. Is it really part of Gears? No, not really. Just like Terminator is not really part of Gears, they have the crossover.
But it's nice.
Stuff in
it's
there.
Just a nice wee touch.
I'm assuming it's just for multiplayer stuff, not for the actual campaign. All right, so that's kind of the smaller stuff. Now I'm going to circle back into some of the bigger announcements. Death Stranding. Death Stranding got a significant amount of trailer time and shown off on the Gamescom opening night event. Jeff Keighley was there, and honestly, that whole event felt almost like it was just waiting for Kojima to show up to show off this game. I still have no idea what this game is about. They showed Norman Reedus being able to pee. His character can pee.
Don't understand. Seriously, I'm sorry. I don't understand. Yes, people want to buy this because it's so weird and wonderful, but I don't understand that they showed us peeing and what was the other thing that he did? Oh, a ladder. A ladder?
Right.
Ladder and peeing. That was it. And shaking a baby.
Well, they did.
Rocking a baby.
They did show off rocking the baby. That apparently, the bridge babies, by the way, we need to get these terminology correctly. So the bridge babies, they showed off a new character named Mama, who was a mother to a bridge baby who is stuck in a different universe. And she's still connected to the umbilical cord, so she can't leave the room that she's in. I mean, this is just crap. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I'm curious if anybody in the chat listening to this right now is still excited for this game. I could not be less excited for this game if I tried.
Honestly.
I'm not a big fan of Kojima.
Maybe this week that, you know, somebody had said that Kojima goes to these events, he goes on stage and makes the game up on stage. This is what he does on the stage. And then the
dev, I believe that.
And then the dev team in the background have to go, holy shit, what did he say? Okay, let's do this. Maybe, again, if you go back to Metal Gear Solid there, the last big game, and the first 2 hours of it are just batshit crazy, and then it evolves into this fantastic military shooter with some quirks, like the balloons and the sheep and all that sort of stuff. But it's a good, solid military shooter. Maybe this will be the same, but it does seem bleak. It does seem like you're delivering things over bleak landscapes. You know, like, yes, nice pretty grass and mountains, and it looks like you're in the hills of Scotland, and all of a sudden there's this sci-fi prefab building with one man in it waiting for his Amazon parcel. Oh, thank goodness.
Right. But by the way, it very much looks like Scotland. I will agree with you. However, it is set in the United States. I don't know where in the United States that's supposed to be. I don't think that area exists.
I don't know. I'm sure there's more of a game there, but imagine this. The biggest, most fantastic part of this was showing you peeing. The character was peeing. That was what they decided to show the general public. Is that just to get to the nerdy boys and girls?
Probably a little bit. I found it funny that not only did they show off the pee mechanic, but they also went out of their way to also ensure that you would not be able to see Norman Reedus's dingleberries, that his twig and berries are unseeable. You can never get a camera view to see that. So to all our female listeners and/or potentially male listeners that wanted to look at his junk, you're not going to be able to. Death Stranding, we've covered this enough. Let's move on. So more big announcements, and now we really are at the big announcements.
Okay.
So Monday, kind of on the heels of everything happening with Gamescom, the bomb was dropped by Sony. They purchased Insomniac. Oh. This was a megaton studio purchase. I think a lot of people were like, well, wait, didn't they already own them? So that's the funny part about it. Before, Insomniac used to be a second-party exclusive studio with Sony. They only did Sony work, but they were still quote-unquote independent. And this is back in the PlayStation 3 days. The latter part of the PlayStation 3, they decided they wanted to branch out, and they kind of went on their own independent way. And they made a couple games that just didn't get received all that well. Mm-hmm. They couldn't really find their footing. They did make the exclusive Sunset Overdrive for Microsoft. That didn't do great. And so then came the opportunity for them to work with Sony. Yeah, it was a great game, but it just didn't do well at the box office.
Hold on. Ratchet and Clank are really good games. They've done well. They've been steady over the years, no?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is what my point was going to be, which is when Insomniac has gone into some exclusivity deals with Sony, going back to the Ratchet and Clank, they did a remaster version that did really well. And then, of course, they made Spider-Man for Sony, which did extremely well. In fact, it was the best-selling game of last year. 13.2 million copies sold. Think about that. That's a single-player, single platform game, and it's outselling and doing better than other titles out there. And I think it was best selling single player only game, but either way,
okay,
really did well. Sony saw this as the right opportunity to strike that deal back with Insomniac. And I think Insomniac also realized, you know what? They are a good fit. So there you go. Insomniac, now part of Sony Studios, and there are talks that they may have more. We'll see. I am Ace Platinum is trying to guess our names and ages and jobs.
Oh, dear.
Gavin, I like it.
Oh,
driving man. Instructor.
There you go.
Marco, pizza chef.
Yeah. Well,
I would love to be a pizza chef. If I could be a pizza chef, I'm just saying.
It's absolutely right.
Anyway.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. Yes. Perfect. Yep. Exactly what you
nailed
said.
It.
Nailed it. yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, it's good for them. It will give them the confidence to go on and develop other new and exciting things. I think there's probably another Spider-Man game in them. If you go back to Sunset Overdrive, you can see the Spider-Man stuff, the traversal of through the worlds. So good there. And of course, Spider-Man always swings around, but I think that they were on the money there. So, let's hope they can spread their wings and do even more wonderful stuff. I'm all for this. Yeah, why not? Why not? Good old Insomniac.
No, absolutely. I think it's good for Insomniac. They get stability. They don't have to, you know, as any independent game developer has been talking about of late, the struggle to find the funds for the next project is real. And so this just gives them stability, which is great. Kind of on the heels of that, to talk a little bit about it, Sony and Disney are in a bit of a fight over the Spider-Man Marvel Universe kind of situation. Sony had kind of a sweetheart deal with Disney for Spider-Man. And Disney wants to redo that deal. They want a bigger cut of that pie. And Sony doesn't want to give them that bigger cut of the pie. I don't know where that's all going to end up playing out. I think at some point they'll come to an agreement. But
I think
as of right now, they're kind of at odds.
I think Sony held on to all the merchandising rights and they had 5% of gross. Is from what I've read and about this, and they were looking an awful lot more and a cut of some of the merchandising, and I think part of it is Sony is resistant to giving more away, because even though the last Spider-Man movie was really really popular and done really really well at the box office, it cost 3 or 4 times as much as the last few that they've done, which actually the movies weren't great. So I think the Sony thing is, right. And it's happened before in the past, because they killed the Fantastic Four, really, and X-Men, just churning stuff out, was that when they were churning stuff out for Spider-Man, they were making as much as they were with the Disney deal. Not the same sales, but the same profit, mm-hmm. because the movies were cheaper to make. So that's where all of this, again, it's accounting. Get the accounting. Hold on, I've got another pizza to do.
Don't turn into a pizza guy right now. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see where that pans out. I still think they come back to it. Because basically Disney said, Spider-Man will no longer be part of the Marvel Universe, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Especially since he was already part of it. So it's kind of like, are you going to try and backtrack on that? I don't know. I don't know how that plays out. What I do know is Disney also announced a new series called The Mandalorian Star Wars series. They had a trailer that came out. This looks fantastic, by the way. That will be exclusive to Disney Plus. It makes me now think Disney Plus is really going to be a viable subscription service. I was opposed to it before. Yeah. I think I'm all in now.
I was talking to Joshua at dinner about this, because Joshua would be a real movie buff now in all India's Marvel Universe. I was saying, well, Josh, what do we do here? I mean, because when we have Amazon at the moment, we have a bit of Now TV, which is Sky on demand, and we have Netflix. I mean, I said, well, do we just drop Netflix now? And just get it when we need to, because I don't want to have another one, because they are moving all of the, they're showing all the backlog of the Disney movies, and then they've got the Mandolin here, and all of those properties.
See, this is the, so, you know, people talked about cutting the cord. you know, cut the cord. It's going to be cheaper. The problem with that was it opened the door to all of these individual stations and studios to say, well, we'll then just make our own paid for app. Yep. And now we're starting to see that more and more services coming out, more and more paid TV services to stream. And we're, in a sense, going right back around to where we were. It's just now you have the option to pick and choose. Sure. But, you know, if you want all this content, it's still going to cost you about the same as it would have back in the day when you had your cable TV. So, but let's talk about Disney Plus real fast. They did announce a bunch of other platforms it's going to be on. So previously they had said just PlayStation 4 and Roku, but now we know they're going to have apps on iOS, Apple TV, Android, and Xbox One as well. So you will be able to find Disney Plus pretty much anywhere you want to go. It will have unlimited downloading on Disney Plus, which, again, that's fine. But, you know, you'll be limited by your own ISPs in terms of what kind of data caps you have. But you can download as much as you want, and you can stream it all in glorious 4K HDR Dolby Atmos. And it's all going to be for $7 basically a month, $6.99. That's actually a really good value. No doubt they're going to raise that price in a year. To start with, that's pretty cheap when it comes to streaming services.
Well, for me, I think Netflix is the one that's
going
to – Netflix is the service that's going to suffer here. I think in the UK, lots of people are tied to their dish for Sky. I'm in a unique situation where I get a lot of my Sky through just the internet. And Amazon, I'm Amazon Prime, so I'm not going to dump Amazon. And the Amazon Prime comes with that Amazon Prime. So I'm not stopping Amazon Prime. It's just a feature of what it comes with. So for me, the one that I have to think about is dropping it. It's Netflix. So I think it's going to hurt them a bit.
No doubt, you know, and that's content is king right now for these services, right? So Netflix is feeling the pinch. You know, we'll see how they rally around this. Kind of a smaller little news story. I just saw this though. Battlefield 5 cancels their close combat plans. So I think they had originally been talking about adding a mode called close combat.
Okay.
But they decided to pull back on this.
It's too much work.
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much. They want to focus on other areas. So you will not be seeing that come to Battlefield 5. I honestly think Battlefield 5 is already done and done with.
So right about now, this is where the podcast unfortunately stopped recording, but what you missed was just us wrapping up the Gamescom conversation. We did talk about the Games Informer and GameStop staff getting hit with layoffs, which of course you never want to hear. We also talked a little bit about new releases coming up. We've got Ancestors, The Humankind Odyssey, Control, Knights and Bikes, The Bard's Tale 4 Director's Cut, Astral Chain, Blair Witch, and the Dark Pictures Man of Medan, all coming out next week. So if that's something you're looking forward to, you've got games to look forward to. We also covered the Trials Rising Challenge number 24, which was Thousand Cloud Village. We had 7 people coming in. Scott Stubby at number 7, GamerGirl27 at 6, Martin C. 1984 at 5, Marcanix at 4, WombleMK3 at number 3. Myself, Murphy's Law at 2, and Luis Raimondo, playing skills, number 1 score, and time at a minute 4.757 seconds. The only person also to platinum the track for this week's challenge. Challenge number 25 will be a pretty good wall using the Rhino bike, so if you want to take part, make sure you either reach out to Marcanix or myself and join our WhatsApp group and get those times into us. Before next Sunday at 11 a.m. in the UK, or 7 p.m. in the UK, I should say, 11 a.m. West Coast. Outside of that, we talked about victories achieved. This is, of course, the contest where we have all kinds of prizes and giveaways, as in giving away cash every quarter. So it ends on September 30th. So all you have to do is finish a game, take a picture of yourself, and tweet it off to us with the hashtag victory achieved, and you'll be entered into that contest. And you will potentially win $15 or £15, I should say, in either PSN, Xbox Live, or Steam. And now that summer is winding down, we want to congratulate out Fletch90 for finishing Oxenfree and Caliburn M breaking out the Kinect to finish out Fantasia. So for that, you get this.
You all have a victory's achieved! Victory's achieved! You have one! Victory's achieved! Just giving.
Okay, and that pretty much wraps up the show. So from here, we will close it out and say thank you very much for listening, and we look forward to speaking to you all next week.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.